succession with 31402, rule 3.
What was it you were doing at Roundtree's?
What did I do? Aero. I was knocking out. That's a rare term, isn't it? Knocking out. Knocking out. They came in along on a belt. Lift them up. Bang. Nothing elaborate. Very boring, actually. Very boring. But it's good money, though. You see, I'd say one and threepence an hour, time and a half for Saturday, double time Sunday, but you see, that doesn't convey a lot to you. But it used to be a lot of money. Yeah, a lot of money, especially when with 84 hours a week, you see. Yeah.
Do you know how many people were employed there? Do you know how many people were working in the factory?
Thousands. I think it's about shut down now, isn't it? It's about... Yeah, there's thousands there. Seaborne Roundtree wrote a book. I think they have their own village and everything. And he wrote in this book about... how much people should get wages. And that's what he lived up to. Yeah. There was some queer religion, I don't know what he was, Quaker or something.
Were you much aware during the 1930s of what was happening in Europe?
During the 1930s? That was my pawn shop days. Yes, I was. My father was on strike. 1926. General strike. 1926. Those were my pawn shop days. Yeah. There was lots of out of work. I'm talking about the country as a whole. Unemployment was very bad. As I say, Selby was fortunate. We had quite a few mills there, flour mill, the Olympia cake and oil mill, and all this. We were extremely fortunate. But on the country as a whole, it was bad. We had the Jarrah March, didn't we? I think. Marching from Jarrah.
Into the 1930s, how much did you know about what was happening in Germany under Hitler?
Very little. Very little. I think mainly because, you see, we're talking about 1930s. Well, you see, I was born in 1916, so what we're getting... in my youth, you're talking about my youth now. Well, I hadn't a great deal of interest in what was happening in Germany. I knew about vaguely about the rise of Nazism, you know, but nothing to worry about. It was a thing you never spoke of, no. Because, I mean, there was never going to be another war, you see. It was the 1918, that was it. We'd finished, hadn't we?
Was that something people talked about, the possibility of another war? Did people talk about the possibility of another war?
No. Well, I think you can say that they certainly didn't, because that was why we were so unprepared, wasn't it? I mean, there was no talk of war at all. We didn't want anything. We didn't need anything, any equipment. There wasn't going to be a war. What did we have when it came? I think that answers itself, really, doesn't it?
How was it you came to join the Royal Tank Corps?
The real reason why I went in, right. I was at Roundtree's and I was earning a lot of money. So I eventually decided, well, I could manage without going 7 nights a week when all my mates are going out. This is me then, in those days. So I decided I would only put so many nights a week in. So I did this. And then Roundtree's decided, for some unknown reason, that they could do without me. He brought me, he said, I've got a brief for you. I never had it described as that in my life, but he said, I've got a brief for you. And this was the brief to say I was no longer required. Anyway, that was that. So, that meant I was out of work. So, I thought, no, then, what shall I do? I didn't, but as I told you, my mother was brought up in York, and she was brought up near Roundtree's. And all my birth brothers and that, they were all brought up near Roundtree's, and they knew people around Roundtree's who had good jobs in Roundtree's, you see. So my mother, unbeknown to me, said, she went and see York, come back, she said, your job's open for you again if you want it, as long as you attend more often. I said, aye, all right. I caught the bus from Selby. I got off in Piccadilly in York, and I walked to Roundtree's, nearly. I got up to what's called the Punch Bowl Inn, and I got that smell again, cocoa. Oh, God, I said, no, I can't, not again. So I turned round, and I walked back through Piccadilly. You don't want to know. I passed Piccadilly into what they call Fulford. Now in Fulford is the barracks, and I went in the barracks. And I signed in the Royal Artillery for 7 and 5. 7 years in colours, 5 on reserve, the Royal Artillery. Tell nobody. Just pack my gear and go. Gone. I'm walking home. I did go back then and get on the bus. I'm going up. And my friend who worked at Selby Shipyard, he, where you been, Fred? I said, I'll tell you, but I said, don't tell anybody else. So I told him, he said, shall I come with you? I said, well, it's up to you. I said, it's for a long time. I said, then I will. I was already a territorial. You know, but that's neither here nor there. We'll go to the drill hall tonight in Selby, and I'll join with you. So we went to the drill hall in Selby at night. I didn't tell nobody we went. They measured him. 5'4". He wasn't big enough. No, can't go in at 5'4". Fowler, they call him, this sergeant who was doing the job. He said, no. He said, you could get in there. So-and-so, you know. He said, no, I don't want to be in the... No, I want to be in the artillery. You can't go in. Well, I said, if he can't go in, I'm not going in, and I'd already signed, so that was a death statement, but still. I said, I'm not going. He said, I'll tell you what, why don't both of you go in the tanks? He said, no, you'll get in there. I said, well, can you cancel that at Fulford? Of course I can, yes. He said, that'll be cancelled. He said, don't bother, I'll get in touch with them. So that's how we came to be in the tanks, both of us. Monday morning, oh no, it was Saturday afternoon, oh God, I'd been out, and I'm going on the Monday morning, all packed up, ready. And my mother was in, she was ironing, I know what she was doing, ironing. Oh, she started weeping, I thought, oh God, she knows. Well, he liked a drink, did this mate of mine, and he'd been out on the Saturday night, blabbing his mouth, you know, so it had got round, and then his mother told my mother, you see, so. Anyway, there we are. We went to different units, actually. I went to the 7th in Kattrick. He went down south somewhere. I don't know where he was. And I met him up again in Egypt, in Cairo. Yeah, later on, when the war was on, I met him in Cairo. Having a drink, he was, strange as it may seem.
What happened then when you first arrived in Catterick?
In work at Catterick.
For training.
Or in the army. You see, Bovington was that. You don't go to Catterick straight away. You go to Bovington, Wareham, Dorset, Bovington Camp, little round Lulworth Cove, all round there. We do Schwerbashing. Quite a lot of it. And then you go to Lulworth. Well, Lulworth has a gunnery school, and there you learn how to fire, shoot. Then you come back to Bovington again, and you are given so many weeks fatigues. My job on fatigues, with the others with me, there is a replica First World War tank at the entry to the barracks. And our job was to put fancy chains around it. That's what I did. That was my fatigues, as they called it, you know. And on that very spot was a gentleman, a very well-known gentleman, was killed on a motorbike. Lawrence of Arabia. Are you with me, Lawrence of Arabia? Very, very famous man. Private Shaw, as he was known as. And he was killed on his motorbike there. Anyway, after that, then you put in for your battalion. So and then they put up, you know, you to go travelling. So I looked and thought, and they got me down for Farnborough. The 4th Battalion, Farnborough. Flipping Hampshire. I didn't like that at all. I didn't want to be down there. I wanted to be up in Yorkshire somewhere where I could get home. So I met somebody who I knew, and he said, if I were you, he said, I should go in the company office tonight, he said, and take 20 players with you. A packet of 20 players, and just say, Private Walton, I would like to be at Catterick. That's all you need to say. And that's what I did. My name was changed for 20 players.
How difficult had you found the training? How difficult had you found the training in Devon?
The training? Which training?
The in Bovington.
Hard. Very hard. It was still army training, you know what I mean? It's we never went out. You see, you was training all day, cleaning all night, buttons, boots. Yes, it you knew you'd done it. Oh, yeah. Well, that makes a soldier of you. I mean, they don't make it easy. It's certainly not easy. When you get that full bumper on and that. That's what it was known as, full bumper. On the back, you know. I thought that's what you had on this morning when he brought you back. Tell me something. How did you get here?
Train.
Have you no vehicle? That to me is unbelievable, really. I mean, coming by train. And then did what? A taxi, is it? It is to me that in this day and age, that is unbelievable. When did you leave?
It was 7:20 from King's Cross.
7:20. Does it? What? Can you get to Goole, or does it change? Done it. Got to Goole, did it? I don't know them nowadays. You see. No, that's what I said to you. There's a driver to bring, you know, pull the car in, because it's a bit busy. But certain times of the day, I mean, you can hear yourself. It's quiet, very quiet here. Nothing much, you know, nothing much happening. It's like this all day, except the meadow, you know what, of the middle of Goole there, what do you call it, where you can't go on, you know, precinct.
When you got up to Catterick, what happened then?
When we got to Catterick, the morning used to be spent on what they call schemes. Now, this was running the vehicles that we had, which were tanks, some sort of tank, out on the moors, attacking each other and, you know, all this business. So it was all mock warfare sort of thing, you might say. Afternoon, unless you was on fatigue, you was out, get in bed, anything. Afternoon was just fatigues. I studied a bit. I got army third class first, education. Then I got a second class. And then I got maths and, was it map reading, towards my first. And then it was stopped because of the war. I think that was equivalent to a school certificate, was a first class, you know. That's what I think that was in our own time at night. We used to walk to Richmond, a little place called Richmond, where there was a cinema. It was all very, you know, if you fancied walking, it was a lovely area, lovely. Yeah. When, how they looked after you, see, there wasn't a railway station there, of course. I think the nearest you could say for a railway station was Darlington. So they laid buses on. As you drew your pay, the buses were waiting for to take you to Darlington. And if you had your civic clothes on, you had a hat between you. It's anybody's hat, it should be anything. Because if you've got your uniform on, you must salute for your money, you must salute until that can land of salute again. Step back and away with a hand. That's what you do, so you load this hat to each of you. All the little baloney, but discipline. See, and then they would take us to Catterick, to Darlington. Mind you, coming back, there was nothing waiting for you to do your best at Darlington. You see, what it's like here, though, you see, now he's been here, he comes here, that man, he's emptying the dustbins, and you hear all about this trouble about dustbins. They say, look, no trouble whatever. See, everything just... It's a bit same with the paper when they come for the papers. Yeah, it's nice, actually, living here, nice. If I wasn't lonely, you know.
How much contact did you have with the local population around Catterick?
Very little. Very little. There isn't much local stuff at all around the barracks. They're all barracks, all of them. Nothing at all. No, nothing whatever. No, nothing whatever. I'm just thinking of a little incident then. We, at Bovington, yes, at Bovington, as I say, it was hard there, the drilling and that. And they had an RSM, and I won't go into the language, but he was. He'd been in so long, his buttons had holes in them, with shining. They had holes, to get holes. And you got this sort of thing. We've been out on a cross-country run, and as we come cross-country run, we all have to go in different, wait. We're all being interviewed by the RSM. Comes to my turn, you go in. Now then, Walton, you're a dirty They'll get out here. I said, well, what's the matter? What have I done? You crept in the bath last night. You see, this is what you got. You crept in the bath last night. I never had a bath. Why didn't you have a bloody bath? Somebody had done it in the showers, you see. And they were trying to find out who it was. Bloody thing to do. But anyway, we all had to parade one day. Officers, everybody, had to parade on the big parade ground, full of men, officers, everybody. And then if he comes. And he said, now then, someone has left me a note. He said, well, what am I going to do now? He said, just watch. And he turned round and he dropped his slacks and he shoved his backside and he said, that's what the note says. Now, anybody that wrote that note, now come and have a go at doing it. This was the daft and brutal. But I mean, this is what you got. It was all discipline, you see. And all the officers had to turn out for that. Yes, yeah, somebody had left him a note. That was Catra, that was Bovington.
What were your rations like in Bovington and Catterick?
Good. The food was good. It was better, for some unknown reason, it was a known fact. It was better, we went to Lulworth's firing for 6 weeks, it was better there. You got two hot meals a day at Lulworth, which is, I mean, all you thought about was food, really. So that was joyful, wasn't, you know what I mean, two hot meals a day. But the food was good, without a doubt. Yes, there was plenty of it. Very good indeed.
When you got up to Catterick and were doing the manoeuvres, what vehicles were you using?
At Catterick, I don't know what they. Well, there was no guns on them. There was wooden guns on them. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Really, but it's true. Wooden guns on them. There were some old vehicles that had been used by the artillery to pull the guns, the tracks. That was the only resemblance to a tank, really, the tracks. And then they'd built this sort of cupola thing on, you know, to make it look like a tank and put wooden guns on. And you said about the war. Now that is, we got some new tanks. We had tank park, they had a big tank park and big hangars, lock up. And we got some new tanks. They were putting those hangars and locked up. Nobody could go look at them. They were, truthfully, they were locked up. Oh, dear. Wartime. We weren't half ready, weren't we?
What was your reaction then to the declaration of war? How did you react when war was declared?
Never bothered. I'm being truthful now, never bothered at all. Spike Hudson, it was, he came in, he said, it was on a Sunday, wasn't it? And he came in where I was, he said, Joe, so, you know, where I put the others, called me Joe. Have you heard Joe? He said, Chamberlain, was it? He's going to speak at 11 o'clock or something. Anyway, he said, no. There's going to be a war, and that was it. I mean, there was no rushing about or anything like that. No. Everything just went normal. I I'm going into bounds now where I said I wasn't going. We did go to Dunkirk though. We went to France. We lost everything. Everything. That was sheer waste of blooming money, that. Whatever those vehicles cost. Because compared with what Germany had, it was pea shooters against rifles. It was, honestly. I mean, we were fortunate to get out of there, obviously. But still, that's...
What was morale like when you got back? What was morale like when you got back?
Good. Oh, it was good, yeah. Well, I mean, it was Churchill responsible for that, wasn't he? He got the people with him. You see, all we were bothered about, we got a week's leave, which was good. Yeah, we got a week's leave. Then gradually we got re-kitted out with gear and started getting tanks ready for the, well, as it turned out, the Middle East. Mm.